This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You can make a pretty good case that women's sports have at the very least cracked the glass ceiling. Last Sunday, the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship was the most watched basketball game, college or pro, men or women, since 2019. And one hopes it will let those athletes take better advantage of the new economic reality in college sports, name, image, and likeness deals, NIL for short, which have been legal since 2021. And in that time, a whole university ecosystem has grown up around those deals to facilitate them. Austin Meek wrote about NIL management at The Athletic the other day. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Kai.
So, name, image, likeness, as I described above, is really good for the athletes. I want to understand the colleges and universities, their motivations for this. So how do they approach this whole, you know, sort of newish challenge?
Well, NIL, since it became legal 3 years ago, has become a huge part of recruiting and retaining the best players. If schools want to succeed on the field or on the court, they need to have competitive NIL programs.
So what does, I mean, you won't know the nitty-gritty, but a typical day for a school NIL general manager is what? Like making phone calls to brands and trying to hook these kids up? What do they try to do?
Yeah, in talking to some general managers, I got the sense there really is no such thing as a typical day for them. Mm-hmm. Every day is different. So it's a lot of conversations with brands and sponsors, conversations with donors, with athletes, trying to stay on top of a legal environment that seems to be changing every day. Really now especially with the transfer portal in college sports that allows players to transfer almost at any time, it really is a day-to-day type of thing to make sure that schools are providing everything they can in terms of NIL support to keep players at their school.
This obviously empowers the student athletes. It seems to be kind of a pain in the neck for the schools, right, that they have to manage all this stuff now. And it's a competitive challenge for them.
Well, it definitely makes their lives more complicated. So there's an old system and a new system, right, that are kind of happening at once. And the schools are in the middle of this, trying to figure out how to get as much money as they can to their athletes while not being able to pay them directly.
Right.
And so all of that money now is getting funneled through NIL, and it places huge importance on NIL and creates a big challenge for the schools to try to get as much NIL money for their players as they can.
There was a great piece in the New York Times the other day, actually, a data analytics piece, not a sports piece, on how the basketball players in the tournament that just ended were getting paid. And there's everything from, like, it wasn't trail mix, but it was like some granola or something that one kid was getting money for. And just, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that these schools are trying to hook these players up with.
Yeah, it really runs the gamut from a sponsorship with the local car dealership to a national ad campaign with Gatorade. If you think about Caitlin Clark,
right,
the basketball star at Iowa, she has a huge platform. Millions of people watched her games. The ratings were off the charts. So there's huge value in that for brands, for sponsorships, and for schools. They want to put their athletes in position to benefit from all of that because it helps both. It helps the player, and it also helps the schools make sure they can get the best players.
We should say here, not to turn this into an NIL primer, but there is, for the depending on the player, like Caitlin Clark and some of the other really high profile players, there's a lot of money on the line here that these schools are funneling, is a little pejorative, but are guiding toward these players.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the exact role of the school in that is one of the really complicated parts of this, because some of the entities that are involved in NIL, whether it's consulting firms or third party collectives, they have kind of a weird relationship with the school where they're not directly affiliated with the school, but they're working really closely together. And obviously, the school has a big interest in providing the infrastructure for athletes to be able to take advantage of this while not really directly facilitating it. So it gets really, really complicated. And I think all the schools are really, really struggling to figure out how best to do that.
Yeah, it seems we've traded one thorny issue. Should students be paid for another thorny issue? How should we get those students paid, right?
Yeah. And I think everybody believes in the near future there will be a system where schools can directly compensate their athletes, but we're just not there yet. And so for the moment, it all has to go through NIL, and that makes it just really complicated.
Right. Austin Meek at The Athletic talking NIL. Austin, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.